Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's midweek, Wednesday, April 11th, 2012. Red flag warning. Those winds really kicking up. That red flag warning in effect for Santa Cruz, Cochise, and Graham counties. So be careful out there. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, with simulcasts on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our program anytime, anywhere at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to one. We have another very jam-packed program to offer you today. We'll lead the show off with Jan Cervelli, Dean of the UA College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture, who says the modern streetcar, along with intelligent infill, can make Tucson a more livable city. What do you think about that? You can always join us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Do you think the modern streetcar will make Tucson a more livable city? Call us, 790-2040. 20 minutes past the hour, Dr. Bill Doley joins us. He's the founder and president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest. We'll be talking about protecting the San Pedro River Basin. 30 minutes past the hour, the organization known as Native Seed Search has some exciting news about increasing our region's food diversity. And then we'll close out the show with Keith Rosenblum, who is the Mexico and border contributor for us here on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line number. The email is buckmastershow.com. You can also submit questions using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. This is a big week for the city of Tucson. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., the U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood comes to town to kick off the construction phase of the Tucson Modern Streetcar. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Jan Cervelli, who is the Dean of the College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture at the University of Arizona. Jan, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you, Bill.
Well, it's good to talk with you again, and I want to talk a little bit about the modern streetcar and your recent op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star, where you contend that the modern streetcar, coupled with intelligent infill, can make Tucson a more livable city. How so?
Well, I think you're seeing in cities all across the country that have invested in transit that they've made smart investments not only in the infrastructure of a modern streetcar itself, but they've looked very carefully at the corridor and planned the land uses and the actual design of facilities along that corridor to work in concert with the modern streetcar to do all kinds of things. It provides additional opportunities for people to move into the area to take advantage of the transit, so residential development, be it students, be it empty nesters, new businesses, new employers begin to look at it as a great location that helps their employees be able to get to work to and from a lot easier than driving long distances. It brings in new cultural and restaurant, all kinds of associated tax revenues. So it's a plus in all the communities that have been studied
and
where they've made that investment.
And you point out, Jan, that other cities are doing the same, including Charlotte, North Carolina, Denver, Portland, and Albuquerque. Have those cities realized increases in their property values along the streetcar routes?
Yes, they have. I've looked at a number of studies that have done an evaluation of, say, a 5 to 6 year trend, both before the beginning of the Great Recession and now. And what all of them have shown, including San Diego, which I think many of us have visited San Diego and seen the transformation, but all of those studies have shown, even through the Great Recession, if not an increase in property values, which most did show, the value depreciation of the properties along the corridor was less than other outlying areas.
And, you know, Tucson, like most well, many Western cities has grown horizontally, not vertically. All you have to do is look at our skyline. We have, what, one or two, the skyline dominated by 1 to 3 story structures. We have kind of grown sprawl-wise, and that's so typical of Western cities. How can the streetcar maybe change that thinking?
It can change the thinking because it provides easy transportation to great destinations, which what's happening here in Tucson is two things at once. The transit is going in. At the same time, we have more employers looking to locate downtown, as well as student dorms are going to be added all along the line. And I think the next step you're going to begin to see is, again, empty nesters. And I can't tell you, I've talked to at least a dozen people in the last 2 years that live in the foothills or live up in Oro Valley, and they would love to have a good choice of housing more in the urban center where they can get out and they can walk to restaurants, they can walk to cultural activities, but have the kind of services like a transit that make it much easier to do.
Jan Cervelli is with us. She is the Dean of the College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture at the University of Arizona. Jan, I posed this question on my Facebook page this morning about will the modern streetcar make Tucson a more livable city? And folks were pretty much divided. Some said it's just not worth the cost, but others said, look to Phoenix. Phoenix has really done a nice job with their urban transit system.
Yes, and I've talked to a number of officials in Phoenix. The ridership is well above what was forecasted. It is also in the process of planning and encouraging infill development along its line. Of course, the scale differentiation that we're talking about is significant. Theirs is many more miles than ours is going to be. But I think in both cases, as demonstrated by communities across the country, the payback is not in the ridership and the fees that are paid, right? It is in the increased property values, the tax revenues that are generated from that, and from the marketplace that begins to become more vital and more active along the corridor.
The overlay zoning is, you point out, an important regulatory tool. However, it's very controversial. Look at the Main Gate District Urban Overlay Zone. Do you like that zone?
I think it's an important tool. The overlay zone concept has been used, again, in other communities in the It brings the advantage of looking at a larger area and planning it comprehensively from the get-go. And what happens, I think, is an advantage is it begins to attract responsible developers into those zones. It also provides neighborhoods a picture of what the area will look like so that these aren't battles of project by project, site by site. So I think there's advantages all the way around. It also provides, and I think this is what we're seeing right now in Tucson, a required conversation with neighborhoods. It also provides the kind of design thinking, what makes good design. Land use planning in and of itself, a discussion of zoning leaves out the discussion of three-dimensional design and design qualities. And what the overlay zone brings into play is holding developers to design quality of what these buildings look like, how they function, how they're massed, the heights. And there's an actual rigor in a design review by a design professional and a design review committee. And I sit on that committee. We sat with the developer in the review process, and I can tell you, we held that developer to a very high standard. I think the next conversation that you're seeing is part of the overlay zone has been pulled out for additional conversation and negotiation with the neighborhood, and that's how the process should go. This is not something being forced without that due process and that due that very important conversation and negotiation.
You are also a community director of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and many people don't realize that the University of Arizona's College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture is really playing a leading role in bringing Downtown Tucson back.
Oh, absolutely, and that's been a very important step for the university in looking beyond its boundaries. It's growing, and it's been very smart in acknowledging the modern streetcar transit line as the place to grow, to begin to look at locating programs. And, of course, Pima County was so wonderful in providing us the Roy Place Building to create our first foothold And I'm looking forward to much more. There's lots of discussions going on here at the university with Mike Proctor leading the charge, and what are the next steps for the university in that way.
It seems that the private enterprise has really taken the conversation about downtown now to the forefront, haven't they?
Absolutely. They're seeing the wisdom of investing and being there. And again, the modern streetcar, you know, many people ask, why can't we just put more buses on the street? The beauty of the modern streetcar is when you put permanent rails in the ground, that signals to investors, this is a permanent thing. This isn't something that's going to go away tomorrow. So they're much more willing to invest, and I think that's what we're seeing happening right now. And, you know, there have been many pioneers in downtown that have made all the difference and have been great role models, Fletcher McCusker being one, the Osterhans, you know, goes on and on. But now we're seeing the real fruits of that synergy that's people have worked so hard over the last dozens of years.
With us coming a little bit, with Tucson coming a bit late to the table when it comes to downtown redevelopment and with a modern streetcar, what lessons can we learn from what we have seen from other cities?
I think the big lesson is careful planning, and the next step for Tucson is PAG is initiating a land use planning process for the entire corridor, and so we'll see the same conversations that we've seen with Main Gate District occurring with many other neighborhoods along that corridor. So it's a very important process, very important conversation, but again, it sets the standard for good development and good design all along that corridor, and other communities, they did that process well, and they're reaping the benefits, and I think we will as well.
Jan Cervelli, thanks for being with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Jan Cervelli. She is the dean of the College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture at the University of Arizona. She's also a member of the Main Gate District Overlay Design Review Committee, and she's a community director of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and she believes that the modern streetcar will indeed make Tucson a more livable city. Coming up now on 17 minutes past 12 here on the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk with Dr. Bill Doley of Desert Archaeology, Archaeology Southwest. They have a new name. That will be the first thing we'll be exploring with Dr. Doley as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Back to the Buckmaster Show, 1221. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our simulcast station, KAPR 930 out of Douglas. Combined, you have two very powerful radio stations, which means the range of the Buckmaster Show is very good. The Tucson-based Center for Desert Archaeology has a new name, now known as Archaeology Southwest. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Bill Doley, President and CEO of Archaeology Southwest. And I'm sorry, Bill, that in the tease I mispronounced your new name, but I guess I'm not alone, right?
No, we just changed the name on January 3rd. So, and the first time I got up, we did a tally, and I had three misspeakings in the course of about a 40-minute talk. So,
you founded the Center for Desert Archaeology in 1982, I believe. So, you're now in your 31st year.
Correct.
And what was the mission when you found? Why did you found the center?
Well, it was at its initial founding, it was a nonprofit. It was part of a California-based organization. And we were doing both contract-funded archaeology as well as a small amount of grant-funded research. And in 1989, we split out and just focused on the grant and donor-funded activities and membership as well. And so that's when the Center for Desert Archaeology got its name. And over the course of those three decades, we've had a strong presence here in the Tucson area. And over time, we've expanded our geographic focus dramatically. And in 1999, we started publishing what we called Archaeology Southwest Magazine. And so that was really one of the leader ideas as we decided to change our name. We already had a brand associated with this magazine, a quarterly magazine that reaches out to a broad general public and covers the entire Southwest, even down into the Mexican Northwest. So our new name, we have expanded from being literally just a volunteer-based organization to having a dozen employees, most of them here in southern Arizona, but also one employee up in northwestern New Mexico. And we work on that scale of the entire Southwest.
And you have based now your operation in downtown Tucson.
Yes.
Took over an old building.
The former Mountain Oyster Club, the Bates Mansion originally, right You go into downtown from the north through the Stone Avenue underpass, and we're the first place after the light there.
Tucson likes to bill itself as a science city. There are so many wonderful activities going around, and a lot of that is tied to astronomy or to Biosphere 2. But archaeology really should and does fall in that science city umbrella, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I don't think people are aware of the number of archaeologists that are present here in this community. I actually got the membership roles of two of the major professional organizations last year and tallied 188 people who consider themselves professionals and are paying dues to those organizations. There's a whole bunch of other folks who are still students and are working for private firms, say, and they may not even be tallied in that number. So
we must have the most archaeologists per capita.
We should be known as the capital of archaeology in the United States, because there's literally we have 50% more than any other place in the entire U.S.
And there's a lot to do with archaeology, of course, here, because we go back how many, 4,000 years people have lived at in the Tucson Valley?
Well, they've lived and farmed in the Tucson Valley for those 4,000 years. The Santa Cruz, a particularly rich place, and the river on a scale that farmers could control it and get water out to their fields as maize was brought north from Mexico around 4,100 years ago. So, no, there's quite a story about the depth of human activity and presence here in the Tucson Basin.
And in a few minutes, we'll be talking with the Native Seed Search folks who really are trying, Bill Doley, to reintroduce some of those original grains, those native grains to this area.
Those desert crops that were, again, had to be adapted to the arid environment and to lose that diversity. Native Seed Search is doing great work to carry those species forward.
We're speaking with Dr. Bill Doley. He is the president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, an organization that is based here in Tucson. They've been here now. They're in their 31st year. Some of the work you're doing, Bill Doley, has to do with the San Pedro River Valley. This is such a kind of a vital riparian area for the entire Southwest.
We've invested well over two decades now in the San Pedro Valley, starting out with a volunteer-based survey in 1990 and a little bit of excavation in 99 and 2000. And so we have documented, particularly from Benson northward, we've got a pretty strong documentation of the archaeology along the river in that area. And so there's been a major research focus. We've involved our members and sort of the generally avocational folks as well as professional archaeologists in that work. And we're now able, with our expanded presence of Archaeology Southwest with research, public outreach, and site protection, we're actually able to protect some of those well-preserved archaeological sites out on the San Pedro for the future.
Is most of the area along the river now protected?
The other partners out there, the Nature Conservancy owns or manages a lot of the lands along there. There's a fair amount of state trust land. We work with multiple players, private ranch owners and property owners. We recently, I think, were able to purchase one of the most the signature archaeological sites has this incredibly large and sort of iconic ball court, a Hohokam ball court there in the middle part of the stretch there by Reddington. And so we now own that 8 acres around that ball court and are talking about expanded purchases of some of the property there. So these places are, an archaeological site is exposed to weather, sometimes to vandalism, oftentimes to threats from development. So we're trying to get out ahead of those processes and stabilize these sites, get them into a positive ownership that we can take care of them for well into the long distance of the future.
Dr. Bill Doley, you do great work at Archaeology Southwest. I am proud to be a member of your organization, and I encourage folks to contact the organization. You do use volunteers.
We do, and this fall we may have even more opportunities than we have in the recent past.
And the website being archaeologysouthwest.org. Did I get that right?
That is right.
All right. Bill Doley, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Bill Doley with Archaeology Southwest. They're doing some great work on really looking into our very rich past here in the Tucson Valley. Still to come, kind of segueing into the native seed search and some of those heritage grains. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A law enforcement official in Florida says charges are being filed in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. The official with knowledge of the investigation says a prosecutor will announce charges against George Zimmerman later today. Newt Gingrich says he still has a chance. He says it's still possible for him to win the Republican presidential nomination. Last month's pullback in hiring may prove to be only temporary. That's the indication from the Federal Reserve's latest summary of business conditions across the U.S. Looking at Wall Street as we head into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up about 105 points, the blue chips at 12,821. The NASDAQ Composite Index trading 22 points higher, and the S&P is better by 11. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Tucson-based organization known as Native Seed Search is announcing some exciting news this week about increasing our region's food diversity and food security in the face of climate change and an evolving agricultural landscape. Joining me now on the Buckmaster Show in studio, Bill McDorman, Executive Director of Native Seeds Search. Bill has been in the bioregional seed business almost 30 years. He founded three seed companies and co-founded several nonprofits. He's the author of Basic Seed Savings. 2 years ago, Bill and his wife, Belle Starr, created an innovative week-long training called Seed School, which now counts graduates from all over North America. Bill, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's a real honor to be here. Thank you.
Talking about Seed School, you have a Seed School, I think, tomorrow, don't you?
We have another version starting tomorrow. This one's a little bit different in that it's going to focus on seed libraries. And we're really excited about that. We brought in Rebecca Newburn from the Bay Area, who was one of the first people to put a seed library in a library.
For folks who don't know about Native Seeds Search, tell us a little bit about it, Bill.
Well, Native Seed Search, for me, is just one of the breathtaking examples of local, self-organized, nonprofit, non-governmental problem-solving. And so 30 years ago, when news that we were going to lose maybe the majority of the diversity in our agricultural crops worldwide, a number of people all over the planet started saving things. Let's save them and put them into seed banks before this stuff disappears. And of all of those sort of regional attempts, Native Seed Search has done one of the best jobs. So that's really what it was started for and why it's here.
And you have something, you've recently announced, a coalition received a grant to promote these arid adapted, what's called heritage grains in southern Arizona.
Yes. You know, we have about 1,800 accessions in our collection. They come from over 50 tribes in the Southwest. Number of grains and other important food crops that would have disappeared, all adapted to our region. And so part of our new mission is to get those back out. We want people to take part in a new agriculture that's regionally based. So as part of that initiative, we've helped organize, I think it's up to 7 farmers here in southern Arizona, and we're reintroducing them to the idea of growing grains that actually grew up here.
What happened to these grains, Bill?
Well, industrial agriculture, I sort of call it the industrial storm. We've gone to globalization. It's one size fits all. It's huge markets. We have 10 companies now that own 75% of the world's seeds, and they're only focusing on a few varieties. And so there really isn't anything left for our regional food supply except to import those grains from other places. And we think in the faces of changing economics and climate change, it makes sense maybe to come home and do things a little bit closer to home.
Bill McDorman is with us. He's Executive Director of Native Seeds Search, which is based here in Tucson. So your seed bank there at Native Seeds Search continues to grow. And do these, then when you grow, take these seeds and grow them, the crops come back?
Oh, yes. That's the kind, you know, for most of the 10,000 years of human agriculture, everything that we created, all the different kinds of wheats and grains and carrots and tomatoes and whatever it was, almost all of that was created because people just simply saved seeds in their region for their cultural reasons. And the plants adapt. That's the magic of this sort of process. And so we, as late as 1903, we had huge diversity planet-wide. Everywhere you went, people were eating different foods and different varieties of everything.
But now we're basically all eating the same thing.
Well, I think it's down to four crops now provide over half of all human food, and we're down to a handful of varieties in each of those. So it's really amazing.
Tell us about the tomorrow's seed school.
Well,
how do folks get involved if they'd
like
to come up?
Well, if you want, there's still room to sign up. We have students coming from all over the United States. These are folks that want to learn about how they can put seeds back into their local communities. And seed libraries have become one of the most popular ways of doing that in the United States in the past year. And so we brought in an expert who knows more about how to do that than any place else. And so we're going to have librarians, we're going to have seed savers, people who just want to learn how to set up a system in their community so that if you have seeds from your area that you've saved, or you know something from your grandparents or whatever, you can check them into a library and other folks can have access to it. They can check them out, learn how to grow some, and then hopefully check twice as much back in the next year.
And Native Seeds Search, or it's nativeseeds.org. Is that where folks could find out about the seed school?
You bet. Or you could call our line at 622-0830.
And Gary Nabhan, Dr. Nabhan, the co-founder of Native Seeds Search, will be taking part in the seed school. Gary also has a new book out, and I guess he's going to be doing a signing?
Well, he is going to come and present at one of our salons. One of our outreach activities to the community is we have a free event on the third Monday of every month at 5:30 at our store on Campbell Avenue, 3061 Campbell. And this Monday, Gary is coming back with his new book, Desert Terroir, The Taste of the Desert.
There you go. And, of course, your big event, the big fundraiser for the Native Seed Search will be Flavors of the Desert. This sounds like it's going to be a terrific event. Saturday, April 28th, 6 to 9 at Tohono O'Toole Park. Can people get a real taste of the desert at this event?
Boy, good food has got to be a part of it. And we'll be serving chiltepines and tepary beans and things from this desert. And so, so often I think we get caught up in sort of some of the fear and the changes that are happening globally is the reason why we're doing this. But the real reason, it just tastes better. Local food that's been adapted here for a long, long time really is better. And so you can come and join an inner circle of people who understand this, who are going to celebrate. That's basically what we're going to do on the 28th.
What can people find at your store on Campbell?
We have a wide range of food products, moles and chilies from things. We've got all the different kinds of tepary beans and scarlet runner beans that, the tepary beans were here when the Spanish conquerors got here. The Tohono autumn were growing beans on monsoonal rains. So they matured really fast. They're smaller, but they taste better. They're incredible. And so you can come find a full selection of things like that, as well as T-shirts and baskets and other things that are representative of the Southwest. Great gift store.
Bill McDorman is the executive director of Native Seed Search. And Bill, has Native Seed Search been used as a model around the world for saving seeds?
I can't speak for its whole 30-year history, but we are now being asked to teach other people about how to do it. I mean, when people wake up and realize they want to stay where they live and they're going to need their own agriculture, that agriculture will not be sustainable unless they have access to the seeds that are adapted to that region. It just makes sense. So people want a seed bank. They want seed libraries. They want to take care of their own seeds as well as their own new regional or urban agriculture. And so they're coming to the good models that they can see, and boy, we sure get a lot of interest in that.
But the diversity is really amazing of the Sonoran Desert, isn't it?
Well, I got started doing the same thing in Western Montana when I was in college. Let's save this stuff before it disappears. And I think we found about 20 things. Down here they found 2,000. They tapped into this agriculture that you were talking about. That's 4,000 years old.
Yeah, we were talking about with Dr. Bill Doley that people have been living at the along the banks of the Santa Cruz River for 4,000 years. And Bill was saying, and I think you'd probably agree, that this is probably the longest continuously occupied area, certainly in North America, right here where we live.
If you want to dig deep and save things that are adapted, there is no better place in North America. They hit the jackpot. thought here. And then combine that with the consciousness and the good graces and intelligence of the people of Tucson. It's breathtaking what's been done. It really is.
So in summary, we've got several events coming up. If you're at all interested in native seeds search, perhaps you would like to go to the seed school, and that will be April the 12th, 13th, and 14th. Where is that going to be?
That event is at our conservation center at River and Alvernon. And we'll be doing other versions of it later in the summer and in the fall. You can find those on the website. One other thing I'd just like to mention is that we have to take these, what I call living, breathing embryos, back out of our state-of-the-art seed bank. I mean, it's not like a museum. We can't just put them away forever. And so we take them out and grow them out to refresh in our collection. And when we do that, we keep the surplus and we make it available to you. So we have a seed listing seed catalog that's like none other in the world. We have over 485 different kinds of things.
That's amazing. I've got this catalog in front of me, and the prices are very reasonable if someone's looking to do the gardening themselves. It's fantastic.
We give away 20% of the seeds we package to Native Americans through our free seed program for them to say thank you for helping us do the collection. It really is a wonderful, and every penny goes to help support our mission. So we're a nonprofit. We're volunteers. We're members. We're just like the group that was just in here. Thank you very much.
Bill McDorman, thank you very much. A lot going on with Native Seed Search, not only the seed school, but coming up the big fundraiser, Flavors of the Desert at Tohono O'Toole Park. That is Saturday evening, April the 28th. So lots going on with the Native Seed Search. Bill, thank you very much, and good luck to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Talking about Native Seeds Search. Next, we'll be talking with Keith Rosenblum, who covers the border for us on the Buckmaster Show. Keith's going to be talking about Mexico. That's next.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:50. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border in Mexico, Keith Rosenblum, former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. Keith is the founder of the website MexLink, which connects Americans to industry, government, and media in Mexico. I shortened your intro a little bit, Keith.
Hi, Bill. Would you make it longer, though?
Oh, now you want it. Yes, now you want it long. I have a newspaper headline in front of me from the Arizona Republic from last Friday. Is Sonora really safe? Travel.
Well, I read that story and I was delighted. It was actually a balanced story. It didn't convert Mexicans into vampires or cannibals or what is the traditional media take on Mexico today. And today actually was apropos of that. There was a presentation earlier today, Lodge on the Desert, where there were people from Phoenix, from Tucson, and from Mexico City, discussing just that issue. They were dealing with the issue of kind of joint promotion of the countries and the problems that the U.S. and Mexico will have if we don't catch up with what Asia does, for example, where you can go to one continent and visit several countries at once, or Europe. When you go to it, you don't have to deal with the kind of border delays that we have, and they... anyway, the gist of this was that if we don't do the same thing, we'll end up losing tourism revenues to other continents.
You know, in that Republic story, they said the murder rate, the report was by Daniel Gonzalez, the murder rate in Sonora, which is driven largely by cartel-related violence, is still far higher than in Arizona.
I saw that, and I guess, the rates are still relatively low if you look at other periods of history, but once again, and this has kind of been my mantra, if you're not a player in the drug wars, and Bill, I believe you are, so this might not apply to you, but if you're not a player in the drug wars, then the chances of anything happening to you are really the same as having a meteor fall on you. I continue to go. My world is yesterday being on buses and doing stories and talking to ordinary people. And I don't go as a reporter, by the way. I go as an average white guy in his 50s. And I know lots of other average Chicano and black and everyone else guys that go. And they really do have a normal experience. And so, once again, I say that we're a society that is that loves to be led down a kind of a xenophobic path.
And how are they doing now in Puerto Penasco?
Well, Puerto Penasco, Kino Bay, San Carlos, Alamos, actually, they're doing outstanding, and they're doing outstanding from a burgeoning market of their own. And this, of course, was Semana Santa, Holy Week, and it's still going on. But the numbers are just are huge, and I think even U.S. numbers are back up there. There was a point, and I'm trying to remember who I did this story on, but there was a point where someone said to me, bingo, the Americans stopped listening to their State Department. That is, we have so many travel advisories, and something finally kicked in. It's like my telling you, Bill, I'll promise to do that, you know, with that job for you, and I never do it. Mm-hmm. And finally, it sinks in on you that I'm not going to. So this is what has happened with State Department warnings. They're always telling us, don't go to Mexico, don't do this. There's a certain point where we say, oh my God, they're really, there's nothing to it. And I think that's what happens. The cliches, and the warning bells come so many times that it's like the boy who cried wolf.
Keith Rosenblum is with us. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico. We always talk with Keith at least once a month. I see that the port of Guaymas is set to expand. That's some good news, isn't it?
Lots of containers, so that if you understand a container of whatever, whether it's automobile parts or something to the mine, or you would have to go either through Long Beach or San Diego. I'm not sure if San Diego has a container business. I double check that, but or far, much farther south, go to Manzanillo, or I believe Topolobampo. Anyway, being able to send containers through Guaymas means you shorten the distance considerably, and you're able to both coming from the Orient as well as going to. It's an alternative that saves a whole bunch of money per container, and it actually might end up benefiting us because it would allow products to get to New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, avoiding a lot of the costs that are associated with bringing things in through the California ports and with no delays.
That meeting you were talking about with officials talking at the lodge on the desert today about Sonora and the safety issue, it still is a very difficult nut to crack because there has been so much bad publicity about Mexico. But your feeling is that things are slowly returning to a more positive area.
Well, 60,000 people who have been killed in the drug war, if we want to call it the drug war, and so you're still talking about a sizable number of people. But again, of that 60,000, let's just choose numbers. Let's say 55,000 or 58,000 have been involved some way or another in it. And there's lots of other casualties. There are corollary damages that comes to people's civil rights and being able to go out at night. But the numbers are so minuscule in the society that if you were to bring an average Mexican family in front of you and an average American family in front of you and talk about their concerns or their, you would hear very similar fears and experiences and hopes for kids and things like that as you would or just be hearing them in different languages. And so really, Bill, there's a kind of simultaneous issues going on at this gathering today. One is dealing with the safety issue, and is that something that affects Americans? And I believe that it still comes down to a third, a third, and a third. A third of the U.S. just doesn't want to go to Mexico no matter what. A third is going to go regardless of what their government says or whether their friends tell them. And a third can be convinced, and it's those third that the Mexicans want to go after. And the other issue at this gathering was looking at regional tourism and talking about how if the Caballeros del Sol, which is the businessmen's group from Tucson, if they, who consist of American citizens, go on a trip to Mexico, imagine the denigration of holding those guys up for 3 hours or 5 hours when they come back into the U.S. Here, guys going on a promotional. So now you can look at, are we ever going to attract people from Germany or from the Orient when we give them the presumption of somehow being criminal or being hidden? I came back yesterday from Nogales and I was body searched at Tubac at the Border Patrol checkpoint because one of the shepherds, the Belgian shepherd or whatever that little guy is, had a false hit on marijuana. I'm just an average guy coming up, and I get to have a frisk from the Border Patrol.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, we're watching in a very slow process. You might not notice it. A lot of your, the kids might not even notice it. But what we're watching here on the border is the very slow and sometimes sped up deterioration of human rights. And it's to someone like me, who's been doing this for 30 years, it's like manifest. I live it every day. I just go, oh, by the way, I was frisked yesterday when I was coming up from Nogales. How many other weird stories can I tell?
We'll probably save this for another time, but the Mexican presidential election formally began, last week, culminating with the elections July the 1st. Who is the front runner?
Disregard the front runner. The front runner is Enrique Peña Nieto of the PRI, and he's the front runner because there's no campaign that's been going on until now. You can probably discard Josefina Mota Vasquez Mota from the PAN. She's a dodo brain. But López Obrador, Andrés Manuel López Obrador from the PRD, the leftist party, once people get to know him, he's going to get a good run for the money. You might end up having to see some kind of alliance in order for Peña Nieto to actually win it for the PRI. But no one with any certainty can tell you anything today. Give us another month and a half and we'll be able to tell you.
The big issue having to do with drug-fueled violence, is that the big issue?
No.
It isn't. What is?
No. People, unless you happen to be in one of the mafias, it's just not the big issue is whether their kids need. Does it sound familiar to you? The big issue is whether their kids need to leave home in order to get a job. It's just jobs. It's the same thing. This is worldwide. You know what? There's a reason that Starbucks is so successful. They just give a cup of coffee to people worldwide. People just want a good cup of coffee when they get up in the morning.
Yep.
And you know what people want for their kids?
What?
They want to be able to get a good job and not have to leave home or not to go after too far. And that's exactly what's going on in Mexico today. That's the number one issue. Drugs are like knock you down to, you know, 3, 4, or 5.
Keith Rosenblum, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks. Till bye.
Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you at noon tomorrow. We'll do it all over, another jam-packed show. Have a great afternoon.
K VOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.